be on my suit and tie shit, tie shit, tie. I be on my suit and tie shit, tie shit. Can I show you a few things?
Welcome to the Burberry Lounge, the most chill spot in these internet streets. Come in, make yourself comfortable, and wrap a minute with your host, the Black Dr. Phil himself, Mr. Burberry Jones.
What's up, world? It's your boy, Burberry Jones, and I'm back with another episode of the Burberry Lounge, Season 3. I'm chilling. I apologize for the show being a little bit late this week, but I'm glad I waited, to be honest. I had been wanting to talk to you guys about what I'm doing, the Daniel Fast. This is my 10th day. Basically, I just wanted to go over that. But after reading a certain article on Deadspin, I just decided that I needed to talk about this and my thoughts on it. So we're going to do a combo, pretty much. We're going to put both of them together. Basically, what this show is going to be about is the first half, I'm going to talk to you about the Daniel Fast and the things I'm doing with it and how that's going for me, what it is and all that stuff. But the second part, we're going to discuss Manti Te'o and his imaginary girlfriend. I got some thoughts on it, and I know nobody's really gone here yet, but this is what I think, and I'm going to just put it out there. I don't really know, you know, if you follow me, you follow me. If you don't, you know, let me know. So just call me on the hotline, tweet me, send me an email, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to get this thought out here just so y'all know. And I'll let y'all, that'll be the second part of the show. So I will do what they call tease. I will tease that. And then I'm going to break down the AFC and NFC championship games as far as what I think. I've been wanting to do this every week, but since I do shows and have different ideas and other people's shows, and I write a lot, I don't really have the time to, but now that I have it, I'm going to actually do it. So I'm going to break those games down. First of all, oh, one more thing. My man JT came out with a new jam. As you probably heard in the beginning of the show, I just teased that. But, you know, I'm going to play it for you right now. We're going to get the show started. It's the Burberry Lounge. I'll be right back after this.
JT.
I can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking. Hey, going hot, so hot, just like an oven. And I'll burn myself, I just had to touch it. But it's so fine, and it's all mine. Hey, baby, we don't mind all the watching. Hi, 'cause if they study close, real close, they might learn something. As long as I got my suit and tie, I'ma leave it all on the floor tonight. And it got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a few things. All pressed up in black and white, and you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight. Let me show you a few things. classic, and you're all mine tonight. And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'ma leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines, let me show you a few things. All pressed up in black and white, and you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight, let me show you a few things. Let me show you a few things. Show you a few things about love. Now we're in the swing of love. Let me show you a few things. Show you a few things about love. Hey,
get out your seat, Hov.
All black at the white shows. White shoes at the black shows. Green car for the Cuban links. Y'all sit back and enjoy the light show. Nothing exceeds like excess. Style guy, gal from having the best of the best. Is this what it's all about? I'm at the rest. The brunt, my rent, disturbing the guests. Years of distress, tears on the dress. Try to hide a face with some makeup sex. This is trouble season. Time for tuxedos for no reason. All saints for my angel. Alexander Wang too. Ass tight denim and some dunks. I'll show you how to do this, young. No papers, catch papers, get high. Out Vegas, Sousa's on doubles, ain't looking for trouble. You just got good genes, so a nigga tryna cuff you. Tell your mother that I love her, cause I love you. Tell your father we go farther as a couple. They ain't lose a daughter, got a son. I'll show you how to do this, huh?
As long as I got my suit and tie, I'ma leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a few things. All dressed up in black and white, and you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight. Let me show you a few things. Let me show you a few things. Show you a few things about love. Let me show you a few things. Show you a few things about love.
Back, I'm gonna have to say I love that song already. Listened to it quite a few times. I'm ready for the album. So I hear he's got like 20 songs or something like that ready. I don't know how many is gonna be on the album, but hopefully it's a double disc type situation, something like that. Since it's been 7 years since he released an album, so I mean that's my idea. And I always gotta support the hometown guy. I support my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee. Again, shout out to Memphis. I'm just gonna get right into it. The Daniel Fast. I've been doing the Daniel Fast since January 7th, I think was my first day. Yeah, January 7th was my first day. It kind of, the whole genesis of this thing is, went to church Sunday, the day before I started, and we were talking, well, the pastor was talking about, you know, some things, and he mentioned the Daniel Fast. Well, I'd never heard of it up until that point, and he was mentioning how in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, if you want to be specific, it says that when Daniel was taken into captivity into Babylon, he didn't eat of the king's rich foods or wine or anything like that for a full 21 days. He was in mourning. And he did that in obedience to God. So every year they do a Daniel fast, which is 21 days of fasting. And at first thought, I figured it was fasting like I normally try to do once a week, where I just drink water from sun up to sundown. As a, you know, when I'm asking God for things, that's kind of what I do. If it's very important to me, I won't eat. I'll decide on the day I'm going to do it, and I'll either get up early and eat something before the sun rises, and then I just drink water the rest of the day. And that's it. And some days it's a struggle, other days it's not. But that's just like with anything else. So anyway, to get back to the story. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening. So I decide I'm going to do the Daniel fast. That's what I'm going to do. And it starts the next day. So I go get a couple fruits and veggies. Now, here's the thing you need to know about a Daniel fast that I didn't know. You kind of got to weed your groceries out before this. Like, I didn't know this was starting. And so I just figured, okay, I went to the house and I started looking through stuff. And I had a new loaf of bread, had a gallon of milk, had all kind of perishable stuff that I couldn't eat or drink now that I had just bought, like a few days before just bought. So, you know, that was money wasted. A little aggravating, but, you know, chalk it up to the game or whatever. Next time I'll know. This is coming around the first of the year. Did a little research before I went and got anything, but the research that I did pretty much told me that this is like a nationwide, worldwide thing. Lots of people do it, and mostly in conjunction with the church. A lot of people do it. So I learned that. So then I went and I started thinking, okay, well, what can I eat? Well, I guess the list of what I can't have would probably be better than the list of what I can. So can't have sugar, can't have caffeine, can't have any additives or preservatives. They can't be in the food in their perfect state. This is more strict than like a vegan diet. So say for instance, I wanted to get a can of peas or a can of green beans. In that can of green beans, there's some preservatives that are added to it. I have a can of green beans right here. In the can of green beans, they'll add some kind of soda, some kind of sodium benzoate, some weird long name. So I can't have that. All I could have would be green beans in some water. Or green beans, if they add salt to it, that's fine. But everything has to be natural. You have to be able to understand what each individual ingredient is. There can't be no acetate, benzoate, or anything like that in it. So I can't have Gatorade. I can't have jelly. There's nothing sweet. You can't have anything sweet. No added sugar. If it's sweet, it has to be naturally sweet. Can't have honey. Can't have really anything that I can think of. No meat. And so, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal for me. The biggest part, no bread. The biggest part for me would be is the sandwiches. I eat a ton of sandwiches. And by that, I eat a ton of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I just eat peanut butter and jelly. I take it to work. I do, you know, 2-4 sandwiches a day. Which may sound like a lot, but I'll eat 2 for lunch and I'll have 2 for dinner or something like that. Or a turkey sandwich or a bologna sandwich. And really all I add is the turkey, 2 pieces of bread, and some barbecue sauce. That's a sandwich to me. And that's how I grew up. So the sweets thing and things like that doesn't bother me. And people ask me all the time, like, how do you deal with not having candy? And candy, I as a kid, and I still don't, I really wasn't allowed to have candy. I mean, this is how my house worked. You got up in the morning. You had 5 or 6 ounces of juice. Very little. You got enough to get your vitamins. My dad would always say, this juice is to get your vitamins, not to quench your thirst. So you would get your juice, your 5 or 6 ounces. You would drink that, then you get some water. And juice would last us forever. It's 3 of us. 5 people in the house, 3 of us. Juice lasts forever. I mean, juice would go bad before it was gone. Cookies, things like that. We had cookies in a cookie jar. If you get a sandwich, you get 3 cookies. There was no just getting a cookie. You had to eat something to get a cookie or to get 2 or 3 cookies. The max was 3. you couldn't get any more than 3 cookies. Now, anything else, I mean, you just couldn't walk in the house, grab a cookie. You had to get a sandwich. You had to eat something, hot dog, something. So, you know, 2 or 3 cookies. And so we never really got attached to sweets. We never really had dessert or anything like that at home. We ate and that was it. We had days where we didn't have meat meals and things like that. We didn't have sugar and everything. And not every, I mean, I haven't had, my mama stopped frying stuff when I was like 12. We stopped eating pork when I was 13, and I'm almost 33. So, I mean, it's few and far between when I crave these things. But the biggest part for me has been the sandwiches. And so, in doing this, you're supposed to pray and ask God for things that, you know, you normally maybe wouldn't ask for. To get closer to God, pretty much. You're supposed to draw closer to God, pray more, read more in your Bible, study more. And I've been doing that. But, yeah, the whole food situation, and I feel great. I mean, I don't feel like I have this supercharged amount of energy, but I don't feel tired like I did before when I would wake up. I just feel exhausted. And then I would, you know, get a drink of something. I'm not a big coffee guy. I'm not a big soda guy. But I'm not waking up dragging. I wake up with a lot of energy now. Or just normal, what I would consider a normal amount of energy. But reading these labels when you go to buy stuff is really hard. You have to get all organic, and even some of the organic things aren't on the list of things we can eat. Some of them have sugars in them, like peanut butter. Peanut butter has cane sugar in it. I didn't know that. Can't have that. We can have nuts. I can make my own peanut butter, but you know, that seems like that would be way, way, way more difficult. I just quit eating peanut butter. But it's for 21 days. It's my 10th one. And it's been okay. Now, there's been times where I've been absolutely starving. Another thing that I've had to deal with that I don't really like is I'm hungry like every hour and a half. And what I mean by that is I'll get up, I'll make some oatmeal with nothing in it, or I'll grab a few nuts and a banana or apple, and I'll take a lot of fruit with me. Or I'll make a salad and I'll eat it. 2 hours later, I'm absolutely starved. So I have to eat again. I'll grab a banana or apple, something like that, a pear, you know, a couple orange slices that I have, something like that, that I had cut myself. And I would eat that. But then again, 2 hours later, I'm starving. And I would just drink water, you know, try to get me through to the next time I eat. I mean, there's no limit on the amount of times you can eat, but the limit is what you can eat. And what I found out is when you get all that extra junk out of your body, it really runs a lot smoother, like it's supposed to. So, you know, I've always felt like drinking sodas and whatnot, you'll bloat up and things like that. And you do. So when you get all those chemicals and extra impurities, because the water just flush all that out of your body, it really, really helps you. I mean, you feel better. You look better. It's a good thing. Now, I won't continue this after the fast. I'd say I won't just drop it cold turkey, but I won't. Like, the next day, I could probably have a soda as January 28th, I believe. January 28th would be the first day that I could go back to eating whatever I want. I don't know if I'm going to do that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to stick to the Daniel fast diet. It's not, I mean, I couldn't go out and eat. I really don't care for fast food. I couldn't have pizza, things like that. But what I will do is I've learned to cook so many different things now, is that I'll incorporate that into my normal everyday routine. I'll do my best not to eat other things because I like how I feel. I like this feeling now. And I feel good. Nothing's hurting. My knees don't hurt. My back doesn't hurt. Ankles aren't killing me. I'm not in pain like that anymore. My blood pressure is lower, which my blood pressure was never high, but I mean, it's fairly low, like 10 points lower than it normally is. But you'd be surprised when you cut out all that junk, what happens. And I'm surprised, but I will enjoy like a good hamburger or a good cheeseburger, but I won't have it every day. I'm not gonna bake chicken every day. I'm not gonna have to have those things like I used to have. I've expanded my palate. So now, you know, if I just wanna saute some peppers and onions and a couple of mushrooms, I'll just eat that for dinner or something like that. I'm not gonna go back. I'm not gonna go vegetarian or vegan or anything like that. I'm just gonna eat more sensibly. I mean, I'm not gonna be like the next day I'll be at McDonald's three times. I'm not doing that. I just feel like this is more towards the holistic thing that I'm trying to do with myself. And I can do this, and it's not that difficult. I just have to continue to do it and do the things that I know I need to do for myself to feel good. Because I really don't want to be on, if you listen to the first season, I really don't want to be on 19 different pills. I do not. I don't feel like that's something that I need to do. I don't like taking pills. Pills as far as medication. Pill, that doesn't help you. Now, if you're so far gone and something that's keeping you alive, I understand that. But if I have excruciating pain in my knee and there's nothing structurally wrong with it, I'm going to do something naturally to alleviate that pain, not take a pill to cover up the pain. The pain is still there. A nutritionist friend of mine said a lot of people feel like these pills and whatnot will take away the pain or make you feel better or make it better. Not feel better, make it better. But that's not the case. What it does is it's like, she said it's like putting a knife in your eye. Somebody stabs you in your eye, and the doctor, instead of pulling the knife out and letting your eye heal, will give you a pill so you don't feel it. So you won't feel it. And leave the knife in. And that's how people walk around throughout the day. And then they take pills to counteract other pills. And then the side effects of this one pill will do something, and you'll have to take another pill for, I'm not doing that. So I'm gonna be as healthy as I possibly can. That's my goal. So no, I'm not gonna fast all my life or things like that, but I've just really changed my diet because of going through this. And I just don't want to get to a point to where I have to rely on things to keep me in a mobile position. Now, there are things that can happen, yeah. I mean, you can get in a car accident. Your body's going to deteriorate. Every day is going to deteriorate a little bit more. But my goal is to slow that down as much as possible. I'm not, you know, I'm losing my hair. I just shave it. I'm getting gray in my beard. I just keep it cut low. I'm not coloring anything. I'm not artificial. I'm just going to be me. So that's it for my Daniel fast. I'll update on shows in the future about what's going on, how it's going on, things like that when it's over. But if you have any questions, comments, you can find me on Twitter at Burberry Jones. You can find me, just send me an email at theofficialburberry@gmail.com. You can call the hotline. Questions, comments, attaboys, you sucks, whatever you want to send me, send me. And I'll get back to those. I'll answer those as we go. And, you know, it'll be something that I do for a while. And I want just your support in doing that and let you know what I'm doing. Maybe it'll inspire somebody else to do it. And that's really all it's about. But I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back with, we're going to get into the Manti Te'o situation and what happened. I got some really interesting takes on it, and you might call me conspiracy brother like most people do, but I think if I lead you logically step by step, you will come to a conclusion that what I have to say is very possible. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's your boy Montoya, man. Just listening to this whole episode, part one, with old Corbin Mackin on there dropping that science. Hey, man, it was a very entertaining show, man, to say the least. One thing that made me laugh is the way it was Corbin say, Nick, he put the ER on, man, and for whatever reason, that threw it out. Anyway, man, dope show. You understand me? Yeah, you know, I'm going to keep up with you boys, man. Y'all take it easy.
Hi, Burberry Lounge. This is Gabby. I'm just calling in. I heard your most recent podcast about hoes, and I felt compelled to respond. It's New Year's Eve now, so yeah, I'm having a good time, so I apologize if my voicemail doesn't make a lot of sense, but at least I have a really good excuse for it. I just want to say that, man, you know, I think if you're going out for a girl, you know, I think if a guy is going out and looking for a girl in the club, that's not going to work. You know, I don't even go to clubs, right? I think I can count on my hand, on both hands, the amount of times I've been to a club. And even I know you can't really find love most of the time in clubs. They're great to dance. They're good to, you know, relax with friends. But it's hard to find, you know, real love in a club. So if you go to a club and you look with a girl and you think she's going to have your back and love you and make you grits in the morning, that's BS, you know. I think anytime a guy meets a girl and she asks him right away what kind of car he drives, or right away she orders a very expensive meal, that's not a chick you want to be with. Sadly, I have friends that who are very adamant about their self-worth, and it's very much tied to how much money a man spends on them. And, you know, part of me gets upset because I'm like, that's not right, you know, he's a good guy, give him a chance, you know, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, it's hard for me to kind of, like, tell them what the right thing to do is when I'm the kind of girl that's like, let's go Dutch, you know, because I don't want to make a man feel like he has to pay for me, and I don't want to feel indebted to a man, especially if I don't like him and I know I'm not feeling him. I'm not going to make him pay for stuff. I don't think that's right or fair. But I also don't get a lot of dates from that, and I don't get a lot of dinners. I end up usually being the one to pay, sadly. So, you know, who am I to tell someone, you know, how they should do things or what the best thing to do is when I see them getting lobster and crab and crabs to take home, not the VD kind, but, you know, the steamed crab. And, you know, when I'm like, can we do Sizzler? Can we have a nice dinner at Sizzler? You know, it's hard out there. It's hard. I would just say that, you know, I think a woman should be able to have sex with whoever she wants to, and she has the right to her sexuality. So I don't like the whole thing, because a man that sleeps around isn't a hoe, right? But I think a lot of guys would get a lot more play. I mean, like, brains every day, right? Like, brains when you come in the door, how was your day, baby, can I make you feel good kind of brains, you know, like, I think if they focused on women that had more substance.
Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the lovers in the world, she belongs to you. But it was just my imagination running away. Just my imagination.
Okay, now we're going to get into this Manti Te'o stuff. If you don't know the story, which you should by the time this thing posts, because I've been kind of slow. Notre Dame linebacker, greatest defense ever, blah, blah, blah. Manti Te'o, the middle linebacker. Girlfriend that he spoke so glowingly about over the summer into the fall. Had leukemia, got in car wreck, she passed away. Same day his grandma passed away. And it's been an inspiration. And he ended up being a Heisman finalist, which I almost would say exclusively because of this. Turns out the girl never existed. This was found out because a reporter was checking facts. And reading tweets and connecting dots. It's on the Deadspin website, the article that you probably want to read or have read or have heard pieces of it. Great reporting. Apparently, reporters don't fact check anymore, so they, you know, go on about the business. So, turns out the girl doesn't exist. This whole thing is made up. Now, it was later revealed, like a few minutes ago, Manti released a statement saying that he was a victim of elaborate hoax, and he found out the first week of December, and he alerted the school the day after Christmas. All this stuff had happened. So he'd been catfished, basically. If you haven't seen the show on MTV, Catfish is about people creating fake Facebook profiles and dating people but never meeting them. I don't understand internet dating, by the way. I don't understand how you can say, I love you, I want to be with you, or how you can get connected to a person that you don't see and for years. I mean, these relationships are 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years. That they've talked to people for 10 years and never seen them. Or never got a phone call from them. Or anything like that. So, I don't get that. But that's another story. So this guy says that he's a victim of catfish. Well, here's my story. That's the official story. That's the line they're going with. And until that changes, here's what I think really happened. Now I'm gonna tell y'all the real, because that's how I keep it around here. My man Manti. I did a little research. So this him and this woman that he had stated prior to that he met, they exchanged glances and phone numbers and whatnot after a Stanford game in 2009. His dad and parents and even he has stated that the girl had been to Hawaii to see him a couple times. Now, today, he says that he never met her, never seen her, anything like that. So, I mean, you can believe what you want, but here's my story. All right, this guy, as a lot of people believe, it's for hype. It's for the Heisman hype, things like that. I'm going to tell you it's not. No. It's not for Heisman hype. It's not for anything like that. There is other stuff in this story that yet to come out. Even if I'm wrong on my theory, there's things that are yet to come out with this story. But it ain't got nothing to do with a damn Heisman. All right, here's my theory. I believe that Manti Te'o is gay. And now, before you just dismiss what I just said, let me tell you why I believe that. All right. Dude got to campus in 09 or 08, somewhere around there, freshman year. All reports say he doesn't go out much. Okay? He is the star middle linebacker at one of the top four most prestigious football schools, right or wrong. I mean, I don't think Notre Dame is all that anymore, but they have a lot of clout. They got a lot of history. A lot of prestige. So he is the soul of that team. He is the face of that team. He's getting over 100 tackles every year. You can't tell me he don't have the run of that school. He's probably got the run from South Bend all the way up through Chicago and any daughter of any Notre Dame booster he could ever want. But he's in a relationship with a girl he never met on the internet. Got a girlfriend, so he's not going to do that. That's red flag number one to me. All right, listen to that, okay? So he's got the run of the campus. All the booty he can stand if he wanted it. But he's faithful to this imaginary woman from 2009 until today. Or December, whenever he decided to quit. Okay. He's a great football player. All right. He's also Mormon. Now, being Mormon, they're kind of harsh to gay people. I'm going to put it that way. It's a sin. It's not natural like I believe it is. I just believe you're just naturally that way, because who in their right mind would want a dick in their ass? I wouldn't. I don't. I mean, I've never had one, but it doesn't sound like something I want to do. So who would choose that? Nobody. Unless you're just genetically predisposed to it, I wouldn't choose it. That's just me. So he's Mormon. They look down on gay people probably harsher than black folks do. All right. He's also Samoan. Very macho society. Very macho culture. It's all about big, strong, fast, manly, do being man, do manly things. He loves his family, so he don't want to let them down. He don't want to come out and disgrace his family and say that, hey, I'm gay. He don't want to do it. Because I generally believe all this is true. He loves his family. He loves his religion. And then he also, his chosen profession is football. And do you know what a gay man on a 53-man roster in an NFL locker room would do? If Manti Te'o comes out tomorrow and says, look, I made all this up to cover up the fact that I'm gay, and I wouldn't have to deal with it if I made all this stuff up. Well, he's not going to get drafted. Who's going to draft him? Because that will destroy your locker room. I know it's 2013 and everybody wants to believe that we can all hold hands and be la-di-da. But it ain't happening, man. It ain't happening in the NFL locker room. Not when they all about being macho and pumping the chest out and talking about how they need to, you know, lead the team and things like that. You can't have that, man. They shower, they walking around butt naked. And even if the dude isn't looking at you in that way, somebody will take it the wrong way. It'll just destroy the locker room. And so for those reasons, that's why I think he did it. I don't think he did it for publicity because, I mean, hell, he's been doing this since 2009. And among other facts, if you still don't believe me, this girl's the love of his life. He adored her, loved her, was on the phone with her for 8 hours every night so she could sleep. But she got in a car wreck. He didn't go visit. She diagnosed with leukemia. I'm sure she had to have several treatments. He didn't go visit. Doesn't have any pictures of her. Doesn't have any anything from her. Handwriting, none of that. They say she was out in Hawaii, which now he says that he never met her, so that's a lie. So, I mean, there's a lot that he's trying to cover up. And I just think it's sad that he just can't be gay and do what he chooses to do with his life. The worst prison in the world is one in which you cannot be yourself. And we all have faced it. Some of us are still going through it. I know I went through it. There were things that I liked that, you know, weren't very cool back in the day. There was things that I liked and people that I liked that I knew would upset my mom or upset my dad. And I didn't want them to know I liked that kind of stuff. So I tried to do something different. Rather than saying, look, I know you're going to be upset, but this is me. This is who I am. That's it. Man, you know, I caught hell when I started dating white girls. It was horrible. Mama did not like that at all. My brothers do it, it's okay. Me, I was the first, so I caught all the hell from it. But, you know, I'll date anybody. That's just how I feel. I don't really care what color you are. I don't nitpick and choose. You have to be this, that, and the other. I just have to like you. And, yeah, that was hard for me. And so that I couldn't be myself in that way. I'm that way now, but, you know, everybody has their struggle, and I'm not knocking him for this, but that's what I think it is. So, there's my spiel on Manti. Tell me what you think. You know how to find me. Find me on Twitter. You can find me at theofficialburberry@gmail.com. You can also check me out on the hotline. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 501-570-6830. I'm going to take another break because I'm thirsty as I'll get out. And all I can drink is water anyway. And then I'll come back and break down the AFC and NFC championship games. Then I'm going to get out of here.
Almost exactly what I need. A definite maybe. It's sure to entice my curiosity. I can't help but think that this doesn't add up. I'm trying to separate the facts from all the fiction. We're living in a world of contradictions. And if baby you're the truth, then I'm lying next to you. When you're the desert sand, I'll be your water. And you're the perfect plan I never thought of. I don't wanna do this on my own. And you shouldn't have to be alone. I would rather be alone together. Been racing, chasing after you. Ooh, you're the sweetest dream, my incredible.
star so bright, your eyes the light is blue. I can't help but stare at you. So soft your lips, the wind blows in my hair. Yeah,
come closer, let me whisper in your ear.
'Cause what will be, every chance you give to me, you will see.
Desert sand, I'll be your water. And you're the perfect plan I never thought of.
I don't wanna do this on my own, and you shouldn't have to be alone.
I would rather be alone together.
We could be alone together.
I'll always keep you safe in my arms.
I will guarantee that
this game out.
Nobody gave us a shot. Nobody. But you still got to play the game, Sal. We knew that. We knew that. And we came in here, and before we walked out of halftime, I just grabbed everybody's hands and we just said, no weapon as a team formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. Man can't control what God has already but blessed and destined, man. This is awesome, man.
You were on the bench when Joe Flacco hit Jacoby Jones to tie it up.
Yeah.
Tell me how you reacted and what you saw.
I told him that we had been here before. You know, we ran this race before in Pittsburgh, and we watched that. We watched that same drive. And for us to go down there and do it, we said that when we came out here, we was going to claim victory. We claimed victory. Victory is ours. It's ours, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
All right. First of all, I was going to do picks last week. I was high on Seattle. They almost pulled it out. It doesn't help when you go down 20 to nothing. But I want to shout out Rashani and tell him I'm sorry. I know your boys was – they were, that was your boys. That was your heart, man. I know you went down kind of hard. But I was looking forward to Seattle and San Francisco one more time. But now that I got that out the way – I'm going to say Atlanta. Atlanta and San Francisco. I don't have any faith in Atlanta. They blow too many leads. They didn't play anybody this year. I don't care what you say. They squeaked out a last second field goal to win a game that they were up 20 to nothing in and ended up being down 28-27 with like 30 seconds left. So, I mean, yeah, they won the game. They found a way to do it. But you just don't blow a 20-point first half lead. You just don't. But I'm feeling that San Francisco is going to win this game. I'm thinking San Francisco is going to win pretty big. I'm going to say 13 points. The first half will be close. But they'll pull away third to fourth quarter. I don't think... I think the defense is going to be the key. The San Francisco defense is going to be key. I don't think Atlanta's defense will stop Colin Kaepernick. I don't think they'll stop anything that the San Francisco offense wants to do. However, I do believe that Atlanta's not going to run the ball at all, but they're going to slow down the passing game. The San Francisco defense is. So I got to go with San Francisco. I'm going by San Francisco, and I'll give 13 on that one. Now, the game that I am interested in, and probably most people are anyway, is the Ravens and the Patriots. I love Captain America. God knows I do. I don't ever really go against Tom Brady. But Ray Lewis told me something last week. He said, no weapon. I gotta go with Ray. I gotta go with Ray. I mean, as you just heard what Ray said, I mean, I guess I could play it again, but what Ray said, he just can't. I can't go against him. The guy is great, all time great. I'm not even a Ravens fan, but I am a fan of the U from years and years and years ago. It's like the way he was running things when I was a kid. So, you know, I got a soft spot for the U. So, you know, and Ray being from the U, I kind of, you know, I want the dude to go out on top. I want him to get to the Super Bowl at least. If he don't win it, at least go out in it. So, I'm going Baltimore. I still don't trust Flacco. I ain't never trusted Flacco. He'll turn into Fluco in a heartbeat. But this is really all I need from Joe Flacco is about 250 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Please just throw it about 15, 20 times. Hand the ball to Ray Rice. Ray got to touch it 30 times. Defense will bend but won't break. Ed Reed might get a pick, something like that. But I think that Baltimore win this game. I'm going to say Baltimore by a field goal. It's going to be something like 34-31. That's my guesstimation. So there you have it. Those are my picks. I'm going San Francisco minus 13. And then I'm going to go Baltimore plus or minus 3. Those are my picks. Those are my lines. So I'm really wanting to watch these games Sunday because I really think there'll be some good ones. And then we're on to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So and after that, it's pretty much nothing. But anyway, you know, what can you do? That's gonna do it for this sports segment, and I'll be right back after this.
Now the skies could fall, not even if my boss should call. The world it seems so very small, 'cause nothing even matters at all. See, nothing even matters at all.
Your love makes me feel 10 feet tall. Without it, I go through withdrawal. 'Cause nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing
These
matters
buildings could drift out to sea. Some natural catastrophe. Still there's no place I'd rather be. 'Cause nothing even matters to me. See, nothing even matters. See, nothing even matters. Nothing even matters.
I sometimes have a tendency to look at you religiously, babe. 'Cause nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters.
Now you won't find me at no store. I have no time for manicures. With you it's never either. 'Cause nothing even matters no more.
nothing, it don't matter. See, nothing even matters no more. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters.
Now my team is gone and make it to the final four. Just repossess my fall by fall. Cause nothing even matters no more. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters. Oh, oh, oh.
To me, to me, to me.
Oh, nothing, oh, oh, oh.
Nothing
even matters for you.
One more time.
You are.
That'll be the show, the Burberry Lounge. I hope you enjoyed it. Be on the lookout. I'm rolling around another concept in my head. I want to do a late night show or a show twice a month or bi-monthly, if some people would say. That's more adult oriented, more sexual, more adult topics in nature, things like that, kind of like an after hours, late night type thing. I'm rolling that around, so I may roll that out this month or early next month, I'm not sure, but I want to do that, and then I'm going to stick to this, of course, but that's coming. T-shirts, I got a Burberry Lounge t-shirt, if you want one, it's $25, it's really nice, a black and white t-shirt. It can be any color you want, really. It's $25. Just get with me. You can find it on the website, www.theburberrylounge.com. Go there. You'll see the shirt. And we can go from there. Also, check out the website. Man, the website, I'm getting people submitting things. I got shows. I got recipes. I got poetry. I got blog posts. We talking about everything on the website, so check it out frequently, because I post to it 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes in a day. It just depends on what's going on and how I feel and what I've written about or what someone else has given me to post that they've written about. I want to thank everybody who has sent me things to post. Also check out the Awkward Poetry Slam is going down this Saturday, if you're in the Little Rock area. check it out. My boy Rigsby is doing his thing. It's a new twist on poetry. I'm going to go check it out myself because I need to really see what's going on with it. May even perform. So, I don't know. It just depends. Also, again, feedback. Thank you for the feedback that you've been giving me. Thank you for all the ways you communicate, all the ways you help me get the show out. Please, please, please continue to do so. You can find me all avenues, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, Google+, all of them, Burberry Jones. Follow me, fan me, like me, whatever it is called, at whatever site you like to use. I am not a catfish, I guarantee you. I'm a real person. I look like I look. So, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I'm not catfishing anybody. But check it out. Check out the show. If you listen to it now, that's great. I appreciate it. Check it out on the website, www.theburberrylounge.com. You can check it out on iTunes. You can check it out on Podomatic. Check it out on Stitcher. And I'm working on some other avenues to get the show out. So you can check it out all there, too. As soon as I do, I'll let you know. Again, the email is theofficialburberry@gmail.com. And the phone number to the lounge line is 501-570-6730. Hit me back. Let me know what you think, how you're feeling. If you want to talk about something, we can talk about it. It doesn't matter. Just give me the feedback, and I'll put it on the show. Well, that's it for me this week, y'all. I'll talk to y'all next week. Have a good day. Peace. Not in a shy way. Oh, no. Oh, no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my